Evening, everyone. Been here over the last little while, you know that UCM has been going through a series called Encounter, and this will be wrapping up that series. You've heard some from pretty incredible teachers about the way that you can encounter God with your heart. You learned about how to lean in and hear the whisper of God, that this is a two-way conversation. An argument has been made about how you can encounter the God of the universe with your heart and with your mind, but what about with your body? Our bodies encounter God, this metaphysical, some would say mythological being that refuses to be named. This God that can't be pinned down, refuses to be owned by any race or religion. What would happen if our bodies were to come face to face with God, the living, the all-powerful, genie-type God that has a history of melting people who get too close? Now, do you know that they used to tie a string around the ankle of priests when they would go into the temple, then when they would go to the inner part of the temple, the sanctum, where the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of God was? They would tie a string around the priest's ankle so that if that priest dropped dead when they encountered the Spirit of God, the other priests would be able to pull their body out. Oh, yeah. Encountering God was a dangerous thing. Even for the most important faith leaders. Take Moses, for example. See, father of the faith, he begged to see God's face. He wanted to know him. He wanted to see him. He was leading God's people. And he said, Lord, I just want to see your face. And God says, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live. What about the other time? A couple chapters back, when God's Spirit came down on a mountain, Mount Sinai, in a giant cloud of smoke. If you read the story, it's incredible. There's ram's horns blowing. The smoke comes over the whole mountain, the Spirit of God. And it sort of makes God, if you read it, it makes it him look sort of like the smoke monster from Stranger Things, or if you're older, Lost. Exodus 19 records it this way. God told Moses to make a boundary around the mountain when his Spirit was there, to make sure that the people didn't touch the mountain, because if the people break through to approach the Lord may break out and destroy them. Oh yeah. Touching God was a dangerous thing. You can't touch God. Encountering a holy God with your body meant instant death. We have a record of one person who touched the closest thing to a physical representation of God that Judaism kind of had. It's the day that Uzzah touched God's box. God had a box. There was a moving accident. First Chronicles tells the story that I sometimes wish I could forget. Because it's the Ark of the Covenant, that's the box I'm talking about. It's a curious thing. It's a box that was said to contain the Spirit of God. Well, it got stolen a couple of times, actually, which was pretty embarrassing for them. Actually, the Ark of the Covenant became something that nobody remembered. Nobody knows where it is to this day. It faded from our memories into myth and into legend. And nobody but Bible scholars and nerds knew what it was until Indiana Jones brought it back to our modern vocabularies and imaginations. The Ark of the Covenant, God's curious box. Now, there were loads of rules around this box. Nobody was supposed to touch it because it was holy. And if you touched it, you would surely die. So they were moving this box, and they put it on a cart. And this whole thing happened where an ox that was pulling the cart stumbled, and there's this guy, Uzzah, and he instinctively goes up to steady the box so that it doesn't fall over. And the Lord's anger was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him dead because he had laid his hand on the ark. So Uzzah died in the presence of God. Oh, yes. Touching God, encountering God was a dangerous thing. It wasn't something that you'd want to do back in those days. No, remember, you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live. Don't let the priest or the people break through to approach the Lord, or he will break out and destroy them. He struck him dead because he had laid his hand on the ark. It's no wonder. It's no wonder, really, that later in the book, when the shepherds were in their field tending their sheep, on that silent night, on that holy night, when they saw angels, they screamed. They freaked the heck out. It's no wonder, because they'd heard the story of the box. They'd heard the story about the string. They heard the story about the mountain, and they were terrified. The angels had to say it a couple times. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. They were probably running around like, is my face melting? They're just waiting for the hammer to drop. Because encountering God was a dangerous thing. The angels kept saying, fear not. What did they know that the shepherds didn't? They told them, don't be afraid. And then they did a very, very curious thing because they gave them instructions. They gave them instructions to go see God's face. They were told to go to a stable behind an inn in a little town and to peek down into a manger and look at God's newborn baby face. And we know through hindsight what the shepherds didn't know that day, that this baby would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. That this was God in human form. And yes, I know exactly how insane that sounds. This is a bold claim that Christians make. That God became man and lived among us. The reason for Christmas. And guys, the idea wasn't actually new. They tell stories about Greek gods coming down as humans too. They mostly came to visit human women and mess around and create babies that would one day come and kill them back and destroy them or create trouble in some sort of way, but not this God. That wasn't what this was about. For this God came not like the other womanizing gods to rape and seduce, no. This God got consent before it was cool. And a baby came out of a virgin womb. A countercultural miracle so far ahead of its time that spoke about the character of this God. And this baby was born into the world, and he would be called the Son of God. And we know that he was one with God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They were all one. This wasn't just the offspring of God. This was God himself, wrapped in human flesh, a gift to us. This is the one who is the God of Israel, the one whose face was too dangerous for Moses to see, the one who existed in unapproachable glory that you couldn't even touch the mountain where he was. This is the untouchable God who could never have been touched before. But he could now. And he was, because that baby grew up and became a man and a teacher. He had quite a following because he performed miracles when he taught, and he spoke with this authority like nothing else. There's a story in Luke chapter 8 that strikes me. It tells a story of the day that Jesus, this God-man, was surrounded by a large crowd of people. And it says that the people were like pressing him on all sides. There are so many as they walk down the streets. And all these people were touching Jesus and no deaths. Nobody struck down by a smoke beam, struck down by lightning. He's just walking down the street. Then the story goes on to tell about a desperate woman. She had a physical ailment. She'd been bleeding for many years. She'd suffered terribly with no cure, spent all of her money on doctors. It goes into some detail. And this woman, desperate for hope, knowing about his reputation, she snuck up in the crowd and she got right next to him. It says that she reached forward in this daring act of faith and boldness, and she just grabbed the edge of his robe. Instantly, she felt power course through her body, and she knew in that moment that she was healed. She stays still as the crowd moves forward, but Jesus, the teacher, stops in his tracks. And God asks, "Who touched me?" You can imagine the fear. The fear that would have coursed through that woman next, because she knew that this was God. She knew the story of the box. She knew the story of the cloud on the mountain. She knew about the string around the priest's ankles. And the God of the universe says, "Who touched me?" She was quiet at first. She couldn't bring herself to say anything. And he goes on. He says, "Hey, I know. I just felt power leave me. Someone touched me." The woman, sweating, shaking, knowing she had one course of action. She had to beg for her life from this God man. And so she comes to him. She bows. She gets down on her knees. She starts crying. She's trembling. She starts making her defense. She starts talking about how she'd been suffering and she was in so much pain and she was just so desperate. And she thought if she only touched the edge of his robe. And he quiets her and he says, "Shh." And then the untouchable God reaches down and lifts up her face. And he says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Fear not," the angel said, "for God is now touchable. Fear not, for God is now approachable. Fear not, we can now encounter God and live. Fear not, for we can encounter God and actually be healed." This is the good news of Jesus. Hope for all who approach him. Because you see, Jesus didn't just touch that woman of great faith. No. He touched a leper and made him clean. He touched the body of a dead boy just so he would raise back to life to give his mother a hug. He touched the sand on a ground, freeing a woman from certain death. He touched a boat that rocked violently on a stormy sea, calming the storms and saving everyone on board. He touched a demon-possessed man, freeing him from that enslavement and restoring him to his right mind. He was like a kid in a candy store, just running around, touching everything, and everything that he touched either came to life or anything that was broken was restored. The untouchable God became touchable in Jesus. And everyone who encountered Jesus was changed by him. For the touch of Jesus is powerful. But the stories that stick out to me in Scripture these days, it's not the times that Jesus reached out his hand and touched people. It's actually the stories that he allowed others to touch him. This woman in the crowd reaching out and touching him. It was a while later, near the end of his life, the very end, where he allowed himself to be touched again. He was in a garden. It was nighttime, and there was a gang of men with clubs and torches that approached him to arrest him. And you see, he could have called his legions of angels, all those ones from the field, from the shepherds before, but he didn't. And he let them grab him. And they took him to be beaten. And he knew it, and he could have called down lightning to strike down the guy holding the whip, but he let himself be struck. They grabbed him, shoved him against a cross in order to nail him there, and he could have. But he didn't. He let them pierce his flesh. For he was indeed truly and fully a touchable and therefore vulnerable God. Let the significance of that hit you for a moment. There's one more touch that I find beautiful and even more significant than all the rest. There's one more touch that changed the world, I think, more than any other act. There's one touch, and it's the reason why I don't think Jesus was just a good teacher and not just a miracle worker, but that I think he was actually who he claimed to be, the Son of God. God dwelling among us. And it was the day that he let Thomas touch him. Doubting Thomas. See, after Jesus was put on the cross, after he was killed, there were rumors a few days later that he had rose from the dead. Thomas was having none of it. John 20 tells the story, my favorite version. It's actually the version that names Thomas. The rest of them just say some guy. Thomas was having none of it. He said, nope, Jesus can't be alive. He actually says, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and puts my finger into them. And unless I place my hand in the wound on his side. And then this happened. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he begins. And then he looked right to Thomas and he said, Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound on my side. Do not be faithless any longer, but believe. If you see artist renditions of this scene, it's visceral. It's gross. It's a wound in his side and Thomas sticks his finger right inside. It's gross. But I believe in a touchable God who is approachable, who made himself approachable, who made himself touchable, who is encounterable because he made it that way. He is actually vulnerable. I believe in a God who takes everything that the world throws at him and in response he says, go ahead and stick your finger into my wound. Do not be faithless any longer. Believe. Fear not, they said. Who touched me? He said. Your faith has healed you. Peace be with you, he told her. Stick your fingers into my side and believe. This is why we celebrate. This is why we gather together and eat food and hang out and have a good time and have joy and laughter inside of us, because we have this crazy claim. Because we believe in a God who loved the whole world so much that he came as a human to eat and to drink and to have relationship with us. And because we can now encounter him, we have hope. Because the touch of Jesus changes everything.